This is part B of the Feast of Trumpets 2009. Now let's set the time frame. The tribulation begins when the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, proclaiming that he is God. Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, Revelation 13. The tribulation begins, first of all, with wars of men against men, and that basically against Israel. And there's even talk and reports that when the dollar totally collapses, there will be such chaos in America that it will split into six different divisions. And the UN will send in troops to control the situation. So if they're talking about it, are they planning it? Let you think on that. Tribulation against Israel directly lasts for 2 years into the third year, because Hosea 6 says that after 2 days, he will revive us, and in the third day, we'll have relief. I'm just paraphrasing Hosea 6. So the time setting that we have with Revelation 6 and verse 12 is just before Pentecost, day or two ahead of Pentecost. Then on the next to the last Pentecost, the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude are sealed. So all the battles, because of what goes on and the heavenly signs and the sign of the Son of Man appearing as another sun in the heavens, all the battles cease for a while because the armies have to regather. They have to get their forces, they have to get their equipment, they have to repair it. In the meantime, the 144,000 are sealed in a great innumerable multitude, and that covers the time from the next to the last Pentecost down to the next to the last trumpets. Period of about 3.5 months. Because after the earth shaking, like it says here, and all the mountains collapsing, the valleys rising, it's going to take time for them to get reorganized again, wouldn't you think? I mean, how many remember the earthquake in 89 right here in this area? That happened right during the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're sitting here watching the news, and we looked at it, and here's this double-deck highway pancaked into one level. And all the destruction that happened, listen, that is nothing compared to what this is going to be. Now then, we come to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 1. We're going to see some very interesting things here with this, and what it's telling us, and how we're doing it, and so forth. So when we come to Revelation 8, we are now dealing with the last year from trumpets to trumpets. And if you have our Daniel Revelation series, you will see on the big chart that based on the calculated Hebrew calendar, that year is undoubtedly 13 months long. In other words, it would be a leap year. So from trumpets to trumpets. After this time of silence and after this time of the 144,000 great innumerable multitude being converted, then God sees the rest of them are not willing to repent. Now he starts dealing in a different way. Now we no longer have men against men. Now we have the angels of God against the demons and men. And this escalates the fighting. This escalates the kind of war that is taking place, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. Revelation 8 and verse 1. Now when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Then I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Now remember what I said. Nothing happens without God giving permission or being directly involved or causing human instrumentalities or angelic instrumentalities or demon instrumentalities to do it. So here we have, directly from God. Now to announce these things, there's another angel, verse 3. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and much incense was given to him so that he might offer it with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that was before the throne. Now, with a great innumerable multitude, 144,000, there are a lot of people out there praying, right? And what does this tell us? All prayers come to God. All prayers come before His throne. And spiritually speaking, it's like incense ascending to God. And incense was to be a sweet-smelling savor to God. And this shows how much God wants our prayers and will hear and answer our prayers. So here it comes up that way. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense went up before God from the hand of the angel, ascending with the prayers of the saints. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire from the altar and cast it into the earth. God's direct intervention now. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. We're going to see, in addition to shaking the heavens and the earth, there are at least three, maybe four major earthquakes which are going to hit the earth. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets, because it starts on the Feast of Trumpets, and the trumpets come in sequence. And so this announces God's war against men and demons by God's angels. And the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound their trumpets. And the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there was hail and fire mingled with blood, and it was cast upon the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up. And all the grass, green grass was burned up. Now we will see a third, a third, a third, a third, all the way down through here. When we get to the seven last plagues, it's total. It's not a third. It's a whole. And we'll see. Now let me ask you a question. Over a period of time, after grass burns up, and of course, we will see with what happens here, the change of the climate, that there is going to be a great deal of rain which is going to come on the earth. What happens? The grass grows. The grass doesn't know that there's a war going on. It just knows it was burned up. Now comes water, so it grows. So we'll see in chapter 9, it says, it's not going to hurt the grass, and it's not going to hurt the trees. All right? Just a little aside as we go along. And these happen quite quickly. First angel, second angel, third angel, and fourth angel. Verse 8. Then the second angel sounded his trumpet, and there was cast into the sea, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire, and a third of the sea became blood, to say nothing of the tsunami waves that followed. And a third of the living creatures that were in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Well, you can imagine that with tsunamis. Even a great big gigantic ships we have today, they're nothing but tinker toys and like little flies and specks on water compared to God. And the third angel sounded his trumpet, and there fell out of heaven a great star burning like a lamp, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the fountains of waters. And the name of the star was Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from drinking the waters because they were made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded his trumpet. And a third of the sun was smitten, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third part of the day did not shine, and likewise a third part of the night. Now, can you understand why no man knows the day or the hour? Time is all messed up. So only God knows the day and the hour. Now, we can know the seasons. We can look and see the events taking place which are building up, and we can anticipate how that may develop. But always remember this. If there is repentance, then God will push it out further, because He's in control of all of the events, yet all human beings are in control of their own choices, except those who receive the mark of the beast. So that's quite a thing when that happened. Now, verse 13. And notice how this crescendos. Notice how it builds in power. And I looked and I heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who are dwelling on the earth, because of the voices of the remaining trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound their trumpets." They're ready to sound. Chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and there was given to him a key of the bottomless abyss. Now, in this case, star is an angel, correct? Because it was given to him a key. And the bottomless abyss. What's in the bottomless abyss? Some people think that that may be down deep in the ocean, because demons are afraid of water, right? Remember what happened when the swine were there? And they said, "Oh, don't cast us into the water, cast us into the swine." He said, "Go." And what happened? They went into the swine and they came down and all drowned in the water. So maybe there's something to it, that the abyss can be even the depths of the ocean. We don't know. But at least that is brought up to help maybe give us a little understanding. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless abyss, and there went up smoke from the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the pit. Then locusts came onto the earth from the smoke. And power was given to them, as scorpions of the earth have power. Now, demonic weapons. And it was said to them that they should not damage the grass of the earth. So it grew back. Or any green thing or any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. Who are those that have the seal of God in their foreheads? There are three groups of them. One Those of the church who are in a place of safety. Two, the 144,000, and three, the great innumerable multitude. So here, God severs these actions from those who are converted, so it won't touch them. This is what you call God's grace and mercy, right? Yes. Just like it was with the children of Israel when the plagues were coming, at a certain point, they didn't come upon the children of Israel. Now, verse 5. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. Now, I've never been stung by a scorpion. I don't know what it's like, but I am told that it is quite a thing, and you have quite a paralysis from it. But here, they're able to recover. Now, when we look at this, we can tie this fifth seal into Daniel 11, when the king of the north came against the king of the south, took over the Holy Land. That's when the beast goes in and says that he's God. Then later he hears of tidings from the north and the east, and he went to make war against them. So here must be the war, a secret weapon of demonic sources. Now, if you have a chance and you have the History Channel or the National Geographic Channel, watch for the special on the Third Reich and the occult. And I think that will amaze you, because a lot of these inventions do not come from the knowledge of men, but from the knowledge of demons. Now, verse 6, and in those days men will seek death, but will not find it, and they will desire to die, but death shall flee from them. And the appearance of the locust was like horses. Now, recall Joel, the second chapter. Prepared for war. And on their heads were crowns like those of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like woman's hair. And their teeth were like those of lions. And they had breastplates like iron breastplates. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots drawn by many horses running to war. And they had tails like scorpions and stingers. And they were given power to injure men with their tails for 5 months. Notice who's in charge of them. Verse 11. And they have a king, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but his name he has in Greek is Apollyon. So that's Satan the devil. And Apollo is what? The war god, right? Yes. Verse 12. 5 months ends. The first woe is past. That's the fifth seal. Behold, after these things, two more woes are still to come. Now again, we have angels coming against men and demons. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. Again, down in the water, right? Then the four angels which had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were loosed. So what does this tell us? Prophecies are right on time, correct? Yes. A lot of us We've heard the saying, well, prophecies are speeding up, prophecies are slowing down. No, it's only the appearance that they may be. They're all right on time, and it's all on God's schedule. They were loosed that they might kill a third of men. And here's this tremendous army. Never heard of. You're not going to have them all in one place. You're going to have them strung out from the river Euphrates, going clear back to Asia. They will come. They will come. See, you need to think of logistics as well. How long did it take us to get ready for the Iraq war? Either one or two. Took months to get all the equipment over there, right? Yes. So these armies must have been coming, and then that sting of the scorpion weapon stopped them in their tracks for 5 months. Now they're coming again. The way has to be prepared. Probably all the bridges across the Euphrates have been blown up. Sound like something we've heard of on the news? And isn't it interesting that we've been fighting in Iraq, which is right where the Euphrates and Tigris River are? And isn't it one of the bloodiest places on earth? Yes, indeed. And the number of the armies of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. An unheard of army. In World War II, of all the armies everywhere in all the theaters of war, they only had 50 million men under arms. Now here's 200 million. Four times that amount. Now notice what kind of equipment and things that they had described by John. So I saw the horses in the vision and those sitting on them, and they had fiery breastplates like that of Jasonath and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and fire and smoke and brimstone shoot out of their mouths. Secret weapons, like I mentioned, the laser weapon. They have a laser weapon now that they can just disintegrate things far away. So whenever we think, oh, we've come to the final weapon, I think they thought that when the Gatling gun was invented, right? Now look at what they have. Laser weapons. Bzzz. Your smoke. Verse 18, by these a third of men were killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone that shoot out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths, and their tails are like serpents, and they have heads. And with them they inflict wounds. Now I can just envision a modernistic tank with a laser weapon on it, and also fire that comes out of it, that is just unstoppable. Now notice their attitude. See, the time of repentance with 144,000, a great innumerable multitude, that was over. So notice these. Verse 20, but the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent. So this ties right in with Ezekiel 33, where God says, you know, to the wicked, turn you, why will you die? Here they are, completely, you know, madmen dedicated to their cause. Have we seen this? Do we not see a foretaste of this with these madmen suicide bombers? They don't care if they blow themselves up. They don't care if they take little children, put bombs on them, and tell them, go find mommy in the shopping center. So off they go in a remote control. They blow up the kid, kill other people. No repentance. Has Osama bin Laden repented? No. Hey. Have any of them repented? Have any of the terrorists that they've gathered up and put in Gitmo, have any of them really repented? Those who said that they changed their mind went back and 70% were out on the battlefield again as soon as they got back. So this is what we have here. The rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they might not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which do not have the power to see, nor to hear, nor to walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thievery. Deadly battle, locked in. Now, chapter 10 is very interesting. There are seven thunders that are so awful that God told John, don't write them. So if anyone tells you, oh, I know what the seven thunders are, you know they're a liar. Because God said, don't write them. And it can't refer back to the seven seals, because those have already been opened and everything to fulfill those have already happened. All right. But he was told, after he took the little book and ate it, that he still had to prophesy against many people and nations and tongues. So what does God do? He always sends a warning, right? Yes. Now, exactly how that's going to be accomplished, we don't know. But because it was commanded to be done, we know that it will be done. Then we come to chapter 11. Now, in the midst of all of this, let's understand something else that is already happening that God has been doing all along, which actually began before the abomination of desolation that stands in the holy place. There are two witnesses. Now, if you don't have the message on the two witnesses in Elijah, write for it, or email us, or call us. We'll send it to you. Two witnesses will not be anyone from the church, period. Zechariah 3 and 4 show one of them is going to be the priest from the high priest from the coming temple that they will build as soon as God says it's time to build. They have a lot of things all ready to go. When the time comes, they'll build it. The other one is going to be the governor of Judea. And Dolores made the comment, looking at Netanyahu years ago, she said, well, I think Netanyahu could be one of the two witnesses because of the resoluteness of his mind. He could very well be. We don't know. But we don't know. We do know this. When the two witnesses come on the scene, you know the Great Tribulation is going to start shortly after that. And they prophesy for 1,260 days. And they have great power to shut up heavens and call plagues any place on the earth. And they torment men on the earth. And when they finally are allowed to be killed, let's see what happens and see what the next event is going to be. Remember, six of the trumpet plagues have sounded. So let's pick it up here in verse 7. Revelation 11. And when they have completed their testimony, the beast who ascends out of the abyss shall make war against them and shall overcome them and will kill them. Remember, up to that point, no one could touch them. And if they tried to, fire would come out of the mouth of two witnesses and incinerate them right on the spot. Amazing. I'd like to know what CNN News would do at that time. Okay. overcome them and killed them. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, Sodom and Egypt tells us the sexual mores of the world and the religious mores of the world. Straight out of Egypt and straight out of Sodom. Then those of the people and tribes and languages and nations shall see their bodies 3.5 days, for they will not allow their bodies to be put in the tombs. Does this tell us that God is going to let all these orbiting satellites stay in orbit so that there can be a witness to them? Everyone's going to see it. Everyone on earth. The way technology is developing, it can be on handheld computers and cell phones. You can look and see, oh, there they are. Finally, we're certainly glad that they're dead. Look at what they've done to us. We're thank you, beast, for having the power to overcome them. And they're right in the middle of a great festival celebration that they're dead. Then after 3.5 days, verse 9, because they didn't allow them to be put in the grave, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, will make merry, send gifts one to another, because these two prophets had tormented those who dwell on the earth. Then after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them. What a thing. Now then, we have a fulfillment of what Jesus said. The last shall be first. These two witnesses ascend into heaven just before the seventh trump sounds. So when the seventh trump sounds, as they are ascending into heaven, they are changed from flesh to spirit. Have to be, because let's see the sequence that happens here. Verse 12. Then they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them rise. So, and in that hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell, and 7,000 men were killed in the quake, and the rest were filled with fear and gave glory to the God of heaven. It's about time. Right? The second woe is past, the third woe comes immediately, and what is the third woe? The seventh trump and the resurrection of the saints on the last Pentecost. Let's read it. Verse 13. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign into the ages of eternity. The final solution for the problems of the world in the person of Christ. And the 24 elders who sit before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come, for you have taken to yourself your great power and have reigned. And all the nations were happy and clapped their hands and waited for Christ to descend. No. Verse 18. All the nations were angry, and your wrath is come. And we'll see the wrath of God here in just a little bit. And the time for the dead to be judged, that's the resurrection. So this has to be the last Pentecost when that trumpet sounds. And to give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to all those who fear your name, small and great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Quite a thing. Then verse 19, and the temple of God in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. Quite a fantastic display of things going on, right? You'd have to say The throne of God is a whole lot closer to the earth at that time than any other time, right? Now, when the saints are resurrected, they're going to come and stand on a sea of glass. So we go back to where the first sign of Christ returning is the great sun in the heavens coming closer and closer and closer to the earth. Then it comes to a point over Palestine, probably over Jerusalem, and here's this great sea of glass. And then on the last Pentecost, after the two witnesses are raised, then all those who are in the graves are raised and brought to the sea of glass by the angels of God. Those of us who are still alive and wondering, oh Lord, am I going to make it? Then we'll be changed from flesh to spirit and be taken on up beyond the sea of glass. Now let's see what happens when we're on the sea of glass. And I want you to understand something. There are going to be a lot of things happen on the sea of glass. That's going to be a time of rejoicing. That's going to be a time of victory. That's going to be a time of great elation because all the servants of God, all the saints of God will all be resurrected to eternal life. They will see Jesus Christ. They will see God the Father. They will see the seven last plagues of God poured out upon the earth. There will be the marriage of the Lamb. We'll get our new name. We will get our rewards. We will be told what we're going to do when we come back to the earth. We're going to have a quick lesson on how to ride this spiritual horse over here, as well as a quick lesson on how to play a harp and a lyre. And we're going to sing two songs we have not sung, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Now, we'll be able to learn them quickly because we're spirit beings. All right, let's come to Revelation 15. That last Pentecost, when the saints are resurrected, it's still not over. God is not done with his war against Satan and the demons and men. Now we have a spectacular thing that takes place. So let's read it here in Revelation 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is filled up. And remember, God has said all the time, vengeance is mine. Don't you think God could take care of the enemy better than us? Yes, indeed. Notice verse 2. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name standing on the sea of glass having the lyres of God. Yet, some people say they don't believe that the saints, when they're resurrected, are going to be standing on a sea of glass that is in the clouds. What does the scripture say? They're standing on the sea of glass. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the saints. We're going to see God's vengeance, God's punishment upon this world in a way that has never been in the history of the world, nor ever will be again. So let's see what happens. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy, and all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. This sets the stage. And after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Where does it have to be then? Right on that sea of glass, right? Yes. And seven angels who had the seven last plagues came out of the temple, and they were clothed in linen pure and bright, and girded about the chest with golden breastplates. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives into the ages of eternity. The final judgment. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter inside the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Here's what happened. Goes out and really devastates the whole earth. All right? This is why it's called a woe. And it's the seventh seal that begins, not the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet plague, which begins with the resurrection and then opens with the seven last plagues. So they're told, verse 1, go and pour out the vials of the wrath of God unto the earth. And the first angel went out and poured his vial onto the earth, and an evil and grievous sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon those who were worshiping his image. See, because the mark of the beast, they're going to control your thoughts. Those who receive the mark of the beast will give up their free will and choice to be controlled by the beast. So there's their punishment. Verse 3, now these happened quite quickly. And the second angel went and poured out his vial into the sea, and it became blood. All the oceans became blood, like that of a dead man. And every living soul in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and into the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And some people would read that and say, oh, what a terrible thing. Why does God do this? But notice what the angels say, who have been alive all during the time that men have been on the earth. And they've seen all the hell and war and fighting and plagues and things that took place because of men. Notice what they say of God's judgment. Verse 5, then I heard the angel of the waters say, you are righteous, O Lord, who are and who was, even the Holy One, and that you have executed this judgment. For they have poured out the blood of saints and of prophets. How valuable are you to God? Look what he's going to do to avenge you. And you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another angel from the altar say, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to it to scorch men with fire. Then men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has authority over these plagues, and they did not repent to give him glory. Now I saw a special about what happened to Pompeii and Herculaneum. If you have a chance to watch that, you know I watch the History Channel a lot, but you watch it. And they have now determined that the reason that they died was not because of lava, but because of the tremendous heat and the explosion that took place. And what that did, it scorched them and burned them to a crisp instantly. And when I saw that, I said, whoa, that reminds me of Revelation 16. When the sun becomes so hot, it's going to scorch them. You might ask, what does it take for men to repent? What does it take to try and open such a closed, hard heart? Not even this. Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues with because of the pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, yet they did not repent of their works. Now here again, got to open up the river Euphrates again, right? Yes, here it is. And the sixth angel poured out his vial into the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, so that the way of the kings from the rising of the sun might be prepared. Here comes for the final battle of Armageddon. Now they have to be convinced to come. So what does Satan do? And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are spirits of demons working miracles, going to the kings of the earth, even of the whole world, to gather them together to the battle of the great day of the Almighty God. Little inset verse. If you read this and you get a little afraid, trepidatious, read verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is the one who is watching and keeping his garments, so that he may not walk naked, and they may not see his shame. Little inset verse of encouragement. You find that a lot in the Bible. And he gathered them together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is finished. So God is the one who declares when it's over, right from the throne of God. And then, great hail, the weight of a talent. I used to say it was 180 pounds, but someone kindly corrected me, it's only 90 pounds. 90 is still pretty heavy. All right, and we come to Revelation 19. So let's finish this off by seeing what's going to happen. All right. Let's begin right here in verse 1. And after these things, I heard the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Who's the great multitude? Resurrected saints, angels of God. The salvation and the glory and the honor and the power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are your judgments, for he has judged the great whore which corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And they said a second time, Hallelujah! And the smoke shall ascend upward into the ages of eternity. And that is a literal scientific fact. Did you know that? When these things ascend into the atmosphere, they're up there in the atmosphere. And they now know from satellite pictures that there is an envelope around the earth, almost an invisible envelope. And every once in a while, it opens up and burps out the radiation that goes into space. And once something is in space, it is there for what? Forever. Just like with the smoke of the torment of those who receive the mark of the beast as it is here. Once it gets up there and that envelope opens up, and it's gone into the universe. All right. Now let's come down here to verse 11 and see the conclusion of the matter. Verse 11, this is after the marriage of the Lamb and so forth. Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. Because the final battle is now ready to begin. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knows except him. And he was clothed with a garment dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. So we know that's Christ. And the armies in heaven were following him on white horses. That's us. Now you can fight. That's why he told Pilate when he said, you know, are you really a king? He said, to this end was I born. And if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. So now it's of this world under Christ, and we're going to fight. That's when you can really fight with righteousness and power, because you'll be a spirit being. That'll be great. You won't have to worry about losing. You're going to win. And they were clothed in fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations, and he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. They are going to learn. And he treads the winepress of the fury and the wrath of the Almighty God. And on his garment and on his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of chief captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, the flesh of all, free and bond, small and great. And God saves the two instrumentalities of human beings that caused this, the beast and the false prophet, for a special reward. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with him who sits on the horse and with his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that worked miracles in his presence, by which he had deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were cast alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed by the sword of him who sits on the horse, even the sword that goes out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So here we are coming down from the sea of glass with Christ. All these vultures and eagles and buzzards and all the flesh-eating birds are coming to just glut themselves on all of the flesh and blood that will be there, and clean it up. And so here we're coming down to the earth. God sends an angel out, and he takes the beast, takes the false prophet, casts them into the lake of fire. Another angel comes down. He takes Satan the devil and casts him into the abyss. Covers him up. So that takes us to the Day of Atonement. So that's what this day pictures, the most momentous and universe-shaking events to transpire in the history of the world. And brethren, we are a part of that. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.